The Holy Gospel is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Jesus sent these 12 out and commanded them, "Brother will hand over his brother to death, and the father will do the same with his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all people because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved. And when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. Amen, I tell you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the master of the house was called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, because there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed and nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the knowledge and consent of your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who confesses me before others, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Betrayal. Hatred. Rejection, violence, persecution, hard words, painful words, terrifying words. Jesus has hard, painful, terrifying words for us to hear today. He speaks about the Christian life, and Jesus does not sugarcoat it. He does not sugarcoat the life we know. Hard words for hard times, difficult words for difficult times, terrifying words for fearful times. And what are these times that trouble us so? The pandemic continues to cause uncertainty and remind us of how fragile life really is. Racial turmoil and the varied and troubling responses to injustice force us to honestly examine ourselves. Hostility and apathy towards God's Word and the Christian church only seems to increase even as we see how fragile our life together as the church, which we've taken for granted for so long, how fragile that really is. So what's the natural response? The natural response to all this is fear. And we haven't even gotten to Jesus' hard words about the difficulties of the Christian life yet. Jesus tells us what the Christian life is really like, and he tells us that it's not all puffy clouds and unicorns and rainbows. No, Jesus speaks of betrayal and hatred, of slander and violence, of blasphemy, of attacks on God's people and attempts to silence them. Things that, well, they stir fear in the hearts of the strongest Christians. And Jesus told these words to his disciples just as he was about to send them out. And this was early in his ministry. This wasn't at the end. This was when they had already gone through his suffering, death, and resurrection. This was the beginning. This would be like the president of our seminary at his graduation, preaching his graduation sermon, saying to the graduates, "All right, you're all excited. It's going to be bad. Cheer up. It's going to get worse." What does Jesus say? "Brother will hand over his brother to death, and a father will do the same with his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all people because of my name." Jesus warned his disciples of all they would endure because of him. But before they could object, Jesus helped them to see see life clearly. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the master of the house was called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? If people treated Jesus this way, then those who follow Jesus should not be surprised. If Jesus' enemies called him Beelzebul, the spawn of Satan, someone possessed by Satan himself, then his followers should expect no less slander and rejection. Again, what's the normal response to all this? Normal response to this is fear. And Jesus doubles down on that with more hard words. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus reminds us that if we're going to be afraid of anyone or someone or something, then the only one we really legitimately have a reason to fear is God himself. Why? Not only can God himself bring our earthly physical lives to an end, but he can also send us body and hell to eternal death, or send us body and soul to eternal death in hell. To any normal person, the natural response to all this is fear. But Christians aren't normal. Instead, we listen to Jesus. We see the Christian life through his eyes. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is rejection and hatred and violence and so much that could cause us fear, including the holy judgment of God. But Jesus helps us to see life without fear. You see, the hardest words that Jesus has for us today are the words that give us the greatest comfort. Three times in his description of the difficulties of the Christian life, Jesus says to you and me and to all of his followers, don't be afraid. Beautiful, beautiful words of comfort. But yet they are the hardest to hear because they are so easy to deny. Don't be afraid, Lord. Really? It's easy for you to say, Jesus, you're the Almighty God. And then people ridicule me, or they pressure me, or they threaten my life or livelihood, or they try to silence me because I follow you and I hold to your word. Do not fear. That's easy for you to say, Jesus. You know what's coming. You know how hard it is for me to be a witness among people who don't care about you and your word, among people who are hostile, who reject you and your word. You have very hard words for me to hear, Lord, and then you tell me, don't be afraid? Are you kidding? How can I believe that? And then we see all the turmoil and all the uncertainty and all the violence, all the loss, all the trouble, all the hostility, all the hatred and conflict around us. We see a world that has changed dramatically, a world that's flipped upside down. We see a world full of people so eager to line up on sides, politically, ideologically, racially, and just waiting to blast away at the other side if they dare to disagree with them. We see people who do truly seek moral justice and racial equality and long overdue reforms. And then we also see a mob mentality that celebrates the immoral, the shocking, the unethical, the sinful, and the blasphemous. We see a world where those who hold to Christ and the true teaching of his word are considered backwards, ignorant, uneducated, and bigoted. We hear it from strangers, we hear it from neighbors, we hear it from coworkers, we hear it from classmates and teachers, we hear it from friends, we even hear it from family. How would any normal person react to this? The natural response is again fear. But Christians aren't normal. We listen to Jesus. We listen to Jesus and we see the Christian life through his eyes. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there's hatred and violence and rejection and so much that could fill us with fear. But then Jesus helps us to see life without fear. Jesus calls us to a life without fear. How? We have no need to fear because of our Heavenly Father. Now, this weekend, it's Father's Day weekend. We celebrate our fathers, our earthly fathers and grandfathers, and our spiritual fathers in the faith. But speaking as a father, I could spend all day telling you how I have failed my children as their father. I could spend all day telling you how I have failed to quiet their fears when they needed it most, or those times when I have been more a source of fear than a picture of God's comforting grace. Yet Jesus helps us to see through his eyes the Father who's unlike me and unlike any other father. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the knowledge and consent of your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus helps us to see that our Heavenly Father knows his children intimately. He even knows how many or how few hairs are on the top of your head. He knows the number. Jesus helps us to see that our Heavenly Father values his children exceedingly. And he starts talking about birds and sparrows. You might be wondering, what's he talking about here? But his point is this, that if he knows each and every unnamed, unknown bird in the sky, and if not a single one perishes without his consent, then surely your Heavenly Father values you more than even many sparrows. If God our Father cares about the life and death of the smallest, most insignificant bird, shouldn't we see that we are worth far more to our Heavenly Father? I mean, if your Heavenly Father has that much care for the sparrows, how much more care does he have for you? Because he sent his Son to suffer and die, not for the sparrows, but for you. Your Father sees what's going on in your life. Your Father knows what's going on in your life. Your Father cares about what's going on in your life. Why? Because your Heavenly Father loves you. That's why he sent Jesus for you. Your Heavenly Father really does care for you. You see that love in a manger. You see that love on display on a cross and in an empty tomb. You see that love in the marks of love left on the body of our Savior. You see that love in how God raised the crucified one to new life on the third day. You see that love in how God raises soul after soul to new life through his word and through the waters of holy baptism. You see that love in how God crucifies your sinful nature day after day and raises you to new life. You see that love as God brings you healing and forgiveness for your soul in his Holy Supper. So we need not live in fear. We need not fear the pandemic. We need not fear the social turmoil. We need not fear the suffering that comes to those who follow Jesus. We should expect such things, but we need not live in fear of them. How? Your Heavenly Father cares for you in his power over all things. Your Heavenly Father cares for you in how he holds everyone accountable to him alone. You know, and even when things seem to be most out of control in your little world, even there, God is there. Your Heavenly Father is there, and he is guiding all things for your eternal good. He is still in control of all things, and even when you are at your weakest, has he not promised, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My grace is enough for you. Your Heavenly Father knows and values you as his beloved children. He has promised to do for you what he has already done for Christ his Son. We have already been set free through faith in Christ Jesus. And what that means is that his victory is our victory. His inheritance is our inheritance. His life is our life. And now by grace, he gives us the privilege by sending us out to share that same good news with other people. He tells his disciples, he tells us, so do not be afraid of them because there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed and nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. What is that long hidden news? Well, it's the good news that has been shared with sinners since the fall. Jesus has won. And because Jesus has won, We have won too, and someday we're going to enjoy that victory in full. Someday all those difficulties and all that pain and all the grief and all the hardship and all this that troubles us so, all of that is going to come to an end with Jesus in heaven. So what do we do now? Because we're not in heaven yet. We live a new life without fear, no matter what. We love what our Father loves. We value what our Father values. It means we love and value those who suffer. Those who suffer directly or indirectly from racial turmoil and social injustice. We see people through the eyes of Jesus as people, as souls who are loved and valued by our Heavenly Father. We hold to the promise that by grace, Jesus confesses before our Heavenly Father those who faithfully confess Him before others. And so we confess Jesus not just with our words, but with our lives. We remain faithful to God and His Word to the very end, and we serve the Lord with all our best gifts all life long. Hard words. Jesus has had hard words for us today. But as you hear Jesus say to you and me, don't be afraid. Those words aren't so hard anymore. In Christ, don't be afraid when your faith comes under attack or when you feel the pressure of our world. In Christ, don't be afraid to proclaim that good news, that message that has set you free. Don't be afraid to proclaim Christ and His saving message from the rooftops, finding courage in Christ to be His witness. In Christ, don't be afraid because you are so precious to your Heavenly Father that He has sacrificed His one and only Son for you. In Christ, though we may be hated, we need never be afraid. Amen.